So this weekend, the Arts Club of Chicago is going to be celebrating a milestone. The club is 100 years old. In 1916, the Arts Club was born to help introduce modern arts and culture to Chicagoans. And over its century, it's done that and much, much more. This Saturday has been declared by the city the Arts Club of Chicago Day. How great is that? That's so great. You have a day. That's so cool. The famed club will celebrate with a big party, a free open house at the club at Ontario and St. Clair in the Streeterville River North area. The event will run from noon to 5, and in the afternoon there will be a special performance from my next guest, the 4-time Grammy-winning classical contemporary music ensemble, 8th Blackbird. Woohoo! They'll be performing a specially commissioned piece from Pulitzer Prize-winning and Grammy-winning composer David Lang called Composition as Explanation. Members of the ensemble are in studio with us for a performance, as well as composer David Lang and the executive director for the Arts Club of Chicago, Janine Myleaf, who is also the co-editor of the new book, The Arts Club of Chicago at 100, Arts and Culture 1916 to 2016. We will start with Janine and David. Hello, how are you?
Hi, we're great. Thanks for having us.
Hi.
There it is. So let's talk about, it's amazing to me. I've known the Arts Club for a long time, but to think of it as a 100-year-old institution in Chicago, it blows my mind. I didn't know it was that old. Let's talk about why it first started. What was the reason that it came to be in 1916?
So in 1913, there was a major exhibition of modern art that came to Chicago at the Art Institute, which is known as the Armory Show. And it was the exhibition where a lot of people saw people like Matisse and Picasso and Van Gogh for the very first time. And surprisingly, from our point of view, the students at the Art Institute, we think of art students as really radical. Well, they hated it.
Yeah, right. It was controversial, right?
It was very controversial. They took a Matisse and a painting and made a fake of it, and then they burned it in effigy, and they really protested. It was kind of tearing down everything that they were being taught, basically. It was the academic painting techniques and all of that they were being trained in. It went completely against that, and there was sort of an uproar. But there were a lot of smart people in the city. In fact, there's a lot of institutions that were founded 100 years ago in Chicago that were fairly progressive and modernist. And so there were people who saw this and thought, we need to have more exposure to what's going on in the world. We need our students to see that. We need our city to see that. And they got together and founded an institution to support the exhibition of modern art. It took a couple of years, actually, before we ourselves got on track for being as avant-garde as we like to think of ourselves as. Mm-hmm. Just 2 years. The first 2 years, we were closely associated with something called the Artists Guild, which was basically an arts and crafts, artist association that was fairly conservative as well. And in 1918, we got a new president, and we really consolidated around more progressive art and radical art. But also we showed a weird variety of things like carpets and, Egyptian trinkets and local painters. And so it's been a really eclectic history
as well. And way before sort of the contemporary art movement as we know it today, I mean, we think of the Museum of Contemporary Art being one of the places that, that continues to work in that same mission to let people know about modern art. But this was even before that, in the way that it really was doing a service to Chicagoans to sort of, prime the pump, if you will, that there are all sorts of different ways to produce and make art.
For sure. The MCA was, is about to celebrate its 50th anniversary, so they weren't even founded for another 50 years. But surprisingly, the Museum of Modern Art in New York wasn't founded for 20 years, or about 20 years after the Arts Club. So when we were founded, we were actually the only non-commercial gallery in the United States committed to the full-time exhibition of 20th century art.
That's amazing to think about. You think about this city's relationship with art and history, and we always think of the Art Institute. And there's a lot of other places as well that have had historic runs and been sort of part of the American experience when it comes to art. But the Arts Club of Chicago has been there for 100 years. Talk about what we've seen over the years. I mean, because there have been Picassos that have come in. You've talked a little bit about Matisse. Talk about the different pieces that have come through the doors of the Arts Club of Chicago, whether it be at the Wrigley Building or at the building you have now over on St. Clair.
Great, thanks. That's a question I love to answer. So the Arts Club has been in 8 different locations, as you just alluded to, beginning in the Fine Arts Building across the street from the Art Institute, and actually across the street from where we are right now at the Wrigley Building, and now we're on Ontario and St. Clair. And I was shocked. I worked a couple of years ago with an artist named Simon Starling, who did a sort of historically based exhibition about an exhibition we had had in 1927. For 5 years, the Arts Club had an exhibition space in the Art Institute, and that was a complicated love-hate relationship on both sides. And then in 27, we left the Art Institute and we went to the Wrigley Building. And one of the first important shows there was of the Romanian artist who was living in Paris named Constantin Brancusi. And Simon researched that Brancusi exhibition and he found all 19 sculptures that had been in it in their current location.
Wow.
And he re-photographed them. So we got to kind of see something of the history of the way those things took place. But I realized when I went to look at that show in 27 that by 27, the Arts Club had had already more than 400 exhibitions. So in its first decade, so we used to have like really short shows. We used to have multiple shows. We would put on 20 shows in a season. And so then within that hugely diverse number of shows, there was everything. There was a lot of different kinds of things.
Janine Myleaf is the executive director of the Arts Club of Chicago and also the co-editor of the new book, The Arts Club of Chicago at 100, Arts and Culture 1916 to 2016. All right, so you got a big party on Saturday at Open House 12 to 5, which will showcase the work of David Lang and Eighth Blackbird. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, get David into the conversation, and hear some music from Eighth Blackbird. So excited. I can't tell you, you guys have been trying to get you guys in here for such a long time. And it's, I mean, you are an elusive bunch. So I'm very excited to have Eighth Blackbird in studio tonight, 720 WGN. Stay with us. It's 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with me tonight. This is so fun to have Eighth Blackbird in studio. They're ready to perform. Janine Myleaf is in studio as well. She's the executive director of the Arts Club of Chicago, celebrating 100 years. This weekend, they have an open house, 12 to 5 at their space, which is right on Ontario and St. Clair. Great Streeterville area, great building. We haven't even talked about the architecture of that building and all the gems that are in there, but we will. But also joining us tonight, David Lang. David Lang, a New York composer who has been brought in a specially commissioned piece just for this weekend called Composition as Explanation. David, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We could do a whole hour just on your career, and I appreciate you coming in and
talking. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, let's talk about, I mean, you know, the idea of commissioning a piece for the Arts Club of Chicago. What did you know about the Arts Club? And also, when brought to your attention to celebrate 100 years, what did you try to invoke?
Well, I think the way this thing worked out was that Janine and Eighth Blackbird got together and thought they wanted to have music be part of this celebration, because musicians have also come through the Arts Club over the last 100 years. And so I've worked a lot with Eighth Blackbird. They suggested that I come in. I met everybody. And, you know, I sort of did a little research into the history. And one of the things I really liked about the Arts Club was that it seemed like it was a place where people would come through and talk about their work. It wasn't just a place to show their work, although that happened. But it was a place where you would actually meet the artists. The artists would give lectures on their work. People would get to meet them. And I started thinking I could make a piece out of that, you know. So one of the people who came through the Arts Club early was a young Gertrude Stein. So Gertrude Stein, of course, moved to France, started writing her incredible, amazing, and very difficult, you know, but completely revolutionary prose. She actually had to go around the world explaining to people what it was that she did, because in order to get acceptance as a writer, she had to get acceptance as a thinker. And so very early in her career, she did a lecture in London called Composition as Explanation, where she's trying to let people know exactly what she did. And she writes this explanatory speech exactly the same way she writes her very, you know, completely circular and amazing and very, you know, kind of mind-boggling prose. So this is beautiful speech that is a piece of hers. And I thought in honor of this centenary, it might be really great to sort of bring that lecture into this place where artists' lectures always happen.
And you know, let's get to the music, get it in right before the news here. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about, I mean, is that when we talk about commissioned pieces as a composer, how much research, how much, you know, history you have to get into. And when you're trying to find the hooks and the challenges of doing that, I'm so intrigued by that. David Lang, the Pulitzer Prize winning composer, Grammy Award winning composer as well, put together this piece, Composition is Explanation. We're going to hear a cutting from it. This is going to be on Saturday. This is going to be movement number 6, right? Correct. And let me introduce the three members of 8th Blackbird who are in studio tonight. The 4-time Grammy-winning classical contemporary music ensemble. We've got Natalie Joachet, Yvonne Lam, and Michael McAferry. They are in studio and they are going to play for us now. Take it away, guys.
And now to begin as if to begin. Composition is not there. It is going to be there, and we are here. This is some time ago for us naturally. There is something to be added later. Again, it was so natural to me, and more complicatedly, a continuous present. A continuous present is a continuous present. I made almost 1,000 pages of a continuous present. Continuous present is one thing, and beginning again and again is another thing. These are both things. And then there is using everything. This brings us again to composition, the using everything. The using everything brings us to composition, and to this composition. A continuous present, and using everything, and beginning again.
Eighth Blackbird in studio, 720 WGN here on the download. Oh, so great. The 4-time Grammy Award winning contemporary classical music ensemble performing, cutting from the composition as explanation by David Lang. This is okay. So on flute, we had Natalie Drasha. On bass clarinet was Michael McAferry and spoken word Yvonne Lamb. All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the event that's happening at the Arts Club of Chicago, which will be on Saturday. And we'll have more conversation with Natalie and with David about this piece and hear some more from 8th Blackbird. I love it. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, The Download, with you till 10:30 tonight. In studio with me, we're talking about the Arts Club of Chicago celebrating their 100th anniversary. Wow! I love it! Janine Myleaf is in studio. She's the executive director of the Arts Club of Chicago, also the co-editor of the new book, The Arts Club of Chicago at 100, Arts and Culture 1916 to 2016. On Saturday, there's an open house from 12 to 5 at their beautiful space, which is right here at St. Clair and Ontario. And we'll talk more about that as well. Also in studio with us, a bunch of award winners. Across the board, there's so many award winners, I can't stand it. David Lang, the composer, is a Pulitzer Prize winning composer as well as a Grammy Award winner. And 8th Blackbird, the classical contemporary ensemble, which is a four-time Grammy winning ensemble. They are here in studio. Natalie Drasha. We also have Michael McAferry and Yvonne Lamb. All right, not everybody's here tonight. The 8th Blackbird, we don't have the piano, we don't have percussion, so we're missing a couple. But I really want, Natalie, we'll start with you guys. I mean, at the Museum of Contemporary Art was just a sort of a residency there. Mm-hmm. You've, you know, done so much around contemporary classical, but that's not all that 8th Blackbird does. I mean, you guys not only are such sort of stalwarts when it comes to, you know, playing in orchestra halls and other places, but you've done so much outside of that. I mean, you do collaborations with indie rock musicians, other people. Talk about the, you know, picking the right people to work with, like David.
Yeah. As you mentioned, we have a really wide array of composers and performers that we collaborate with. We just came off of being in Paris, where we performed with Justin Vernon from Bon Iver and Bryce Dessner from The National, and now here we are this weekend back in Chicago performing a work by David Lang. And obviously, to be really honest about it, I think that most of the people that we collaborate with are people who we have great relationships with. David Lang is a composer that has been a great friend and collaborator to the ensemble for a very long time, almost since the very beginning, which is 20 years ago now. And so I think that is a really important aspect of the composer and performer relationship. Mm-hmm. It feels really great to collaborate with people and composers who write for you, knowing your personality, knowing who you are. I think for us, it feels great to be able to play music by people that we really know, who we can really ask questions to and have conversations with. And some of the best collaborations come out of really deep friendships.
David, that's a great point. For you, I mean, we talked real quickly about sort of what you have to do when you're commissioned a piece, how much history research goes into it. How important is it for you to work with musicians you've worked for in the past? And how much do you write the music specifically for the musicians who will be playing it?
I think it's really, really important. And it's also much more rewarding for me. You know, I feel like you want to take advantage of all the things that are available to you. And when you work with people over and over again, you learn more about them. You learn what they're good at, what you want to avoid. You learn what makes them really happy, what makes them really proud. And you also learn the parts of your friendship, which can be expressed through mm-hmm. music. So part of this, I have worked with 8th Blackbird for a long time. I think I'm not totally sure about this. I might be making this up, but I think my music was on the first concert they ever played. Is that true? Or certainly on the first record many, many years ago. And I remember when they were still students. And, you know, I think when you build a friendship on this, it's not just an abstract thing to write a piece of music. It's actually saying, you know, I know you. I know what you do. Mm-hmm. And when they listen to my music or they try to decode it, they know who I am. They know my quirks, you know. So it's just another way of having a cup of coffee or going out for dinner.
Well, I mean, there's specific, instruments, and there's specific musicians that are in 8th Blackbird. For you as a composer, how important is it for you to understand those instruments? I mean, obviously the background of bringing it to, I mean, you're not just a composer, you play music. Talk about how important it is for you to have a background in actually performing and playing the music.
Well, I'm actually a really terrible performer, and I was never very good. My main instrument was trombone, and I was always the loudest trombone player, but I was never the best trombone player. So it's been very helpful for me to know everything about lots of different instruments, and I played lots of them, you know. And we were just talking during the break about how, you know, in high school I was in every ensemble, but I also played in a rock band. I played in a jazz band. I just loved music. I got to school early every day so I could blow the bugle for flag raising. You know, that's how nerdy I was. I just loved music and participating in it in any way that I possibly could. So I think everyone's path to how to be a composer is very different. But for me, the part of it was I really wanted to be in the center of a musical life.
Natalie, let me ask you. You play the flute. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, looking around the room, you've got the violin, of course, and the bass clarinet. I mean, those are going to be instruments that are going to specifically be for classical music, right? I mean, you're going to see that sort of play out in ensembles or orchestras and otherwise. You guys bend it a little bit in the way that you're playing a little bit more classical contemporary styles of classical music. We just had Andrew Bird on the show, and he talked about how he really wanted to push the violin and talk about sort of bending genres. I mean, do you feel the same as a flautist? Do you feel like that's something that you sort of gravitate towards, using the instrument in different ways and different music?
I mean, I think as a flutist, I'm pretty lucky because I've got Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull and Hubert Wallis, who's a huge jazz flute player. And so our instrument's pretty versatile. But I think all of us, you know, really think of our instruments as just a means of expression. And we really love music. And, you know, we look to the composers that we work with to try to push us to our limits and really, you know, help us diversify the ways in which that we can be expressive on our instruments. So I think that, you know, in a way we're genre bending, but I think in another way we just sort of love making music. And so we're open to as many sounds as we can make as possible.
What options are there for a bass clarinetist? I just wonder. I mean, is that the kind? Is it a kitsch kind of thing where you see the bass clarinet showing up in more sort of chamber indie rock kind of stuff, or is it specifically used mostly, you know, almost exclusively in classical music?
Oh gosh, no. I mean, it's been used in jazz since the beginning of jazz, and as we were talking about marching bands earlier, you know, it was probably even designed for giving low end to a marching band because it's still relatively portable. But no, it's you find it everywhere now. A lot of indie rock bands are doing more stuff with orchestral instruments, layering, and things like that.
Are you thinking, I mean, do you find yourself trying to vary the genres of music that you play in? I mean, or are you specifically, you know, sort of stuck with classical contemporary?
Well, I'm kind of a classical music nerd. So, yeah, it's where I've always been for the most part.
One thing I will say, though, is that I feel particularly these days, and I think that, you know, David's piece is really a testament to this, is that, you know, you have composition as explanation, which is really using text mixed with mm-hmm. you know, us giving spoken word mixed with traditional uses of our instruments. And I really feel now, like, currently in 20th century music, there, no matter what genre, there is a real presence of sort of mixing it up. You know, everybody is sort of becoming multidisciplinary or incorporating other genres of music within their own, and I think you see that a lot with indie rock. That's how we get on those stages,
right?
Honestly, so I think
Yvonne, for you, I mean, playing the violin, I mean, that, like Andrew Bird said, that he really wants to explore and use it in different ways, so it's just not just in classical music. I mean, do you see yourself agreeing with that concept, or are you just like Michael talking, sort of being a classical music nerd?
Well, I am a classical music nerd, but I'm always looking for different fun things I can do with my instrument and always learning from other people. So.
That's great. Eighth Blackbird in studio tonight. The four-time Grammy Award-winning contemporary classical ensemble in studio with us tonight. We have Natalie Joachet. We have Michael McAferry and Yvonne Lamb. Also in the band, Nicholas Fotinos, he's a cellist. Matthew Duvall, who's a percussionist, and Lisa Kaplan, who's on piano. They are not in studio with us tonight. But you can see Eighth Blackbird at the Arts Club of Chicago on Saturday. We will come back and talk more about that event, which is coming up. And hear some live music as well right here after the break here on The Download, 720 WGN. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, the four-time Grammy-winning classical, contemporary classical ensemble, Eighth Blackbird. They're going to do a performance here for us. David Lang's composition as explanation, a special piece that was commissioned by the Arts Club of Chicago for their 100th anniversary. They're celebrating this Saturday at the Arts Club of Chicago at Ontario and St. Clair in the Streeterville neighborhood. It'll be from noon to 5. The performance will happen in the afternoon. Here's another piece from composition as explanation by Eighth Blackbird. Performing, we have on the violin Yvonne Lamb. Spoken word will be Michael McAferry, and the flute will be Natalie Joachet. You guys ready? Let's do it.
The problem from this time on became more definite. It was all so nearly alike, it must be different, and it is different. It is natural that if everything is used, and there is a continuous present, and a beginning again and again, if it is all so alike, it must be simply different. And everything simply different was the natural way of creating it then. In this natural way of creating it then, that it was simply different, everything being alike, it was simply different. This kept on leading one to lists. Lists naturally for a while. And by lists, I mean a series. More and more, in going back over what was done at this time, I find that I naturally kept simply different as an intention. Whether there was or whether there was not a continuous present did not then any longer trouble me. There was or there was not. And using everything no longer troubled me. If everything is alike, using everything could no longer trouble me. And beginning again and again could no longer trouble me, because if lists were inevitable, if series were inevitable, and the whole of it was inevitable, beginning again and again could not trouble me. So then, with nothing to trouble me, I very completely began naturally, since everything is alike, making it as simply different naturally, as simply different as possible. I began doing natural phenomena, what I call natural phenomena, and natural phenomena naturally, everything being alike, natural phenomena, are making things be naturally, simply different. This found its culmination later. In the beginning, it began in a center, confused with lists, with series, with geography, with returning portraits, and with particularly often 4 and 3, and often with 5 and 4. It is easy to see that in the beginning, such a conception as everything being naturally different would be very inarticulate, and very slowly it began to emerge and take the form of anything. And then naturally, if anything that is simply different is simply different, what follows will follow. So far, then, the progress of my conceptions was the natural progress, entirely in accordance with my epoch, as I am sure is to be quite easily realized if you think over the scene that was before us all from year to year. As I said in the beginning, there is a long history of how everyone ever acted or has felt, and that nothing inside them, in all of them, makes it connectedly different. By this, I mean all this. The only thing that is different from one time to another is what is seen, and what is seen depends upon how everybody is doing everything. It is understood by this time that everything is the same except composition and time. Composition and the time of the composition and the time in the composition. Everything is the same except composition. And as the composition is different, everything is not the same.
Yeah, all right. There you go. That's a piece of the performance, the composition, composition as explanation, which will be on, I guess, at the Arts Club of Chicago. I was going to say on stage, but I'm not sure if there's a stage. Well, I know the building, but that's a piece from David Lang, the composer, the Pulitzer Prize-winning, Grammy Award-winning composer David Lang, who did a commission for the Arts Club of Chicago, which really featured the work or the writings of 1925, you said, Gertrude Stein?
I think the lecture is 1923.
1923. And the performance from Eighth Blackbird. On that performance, we had the violin from Yvonne Lam and also the spoken word from Michael McAferry. I want to bring in Janine Myleaf in right to wrap it up real quick. It's not just music at the open house. 12 to 5, there's going to be a lot going on.
Correct. Following on David's idea, actually, that the Arts Club legacy really had to do with this in-person conversation about the art and really artist talks. We've taken this idea of his music and we're interspersing it with artist talks, but none of the people who are coming are giving us a straight artist talk. So just like David's music kind of interprets the idea of what an artist talk would be, each of the artists that are going to be there on Saturday are doing that in a different way.
All right. Arts Club of Chicago having their 100th anniversary, their birthday celebration at the Arts Club of Chicago, which is at Ontario and St. Clair here in Chicago in the Streeterville neighborhood. The open house is 12 to 5. Janine Myleaf is the executive director for the Arts Club of Chicago, also the co-editor of the new book, The Arts Club of Chicago at 100, Arts and Culture 1916 to 2016. Composer David Lang will have his the composition as explanation will be performed by the four-time Grammy Award-winning ensemble, Eighth Blackbird. This is all on Saturday. I'm so excited you guys came in studio tonight. I really appreciate it. And I got to get you guys back because I want you to come in and do a whole hour with us and perform some of your stuff. It would be great to have you. Again, I can't thank you all for coming in. Thanks for being my guest tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.